It's time for the Newsmax Daily from Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Now, here's your host, Rob Carson.
Just a note that really sad. My wife just sent me this. Ray Liotta died last night. Ray Liotta died. Gosh darn it. This sucks. You know, Ray Liotta, do I have a lot of his movies that are my favorites? No. Have I always just loved Ray Liotta? Absolutely. I got to tell you, Field of Dreams, absolutely incredible. Better yet, Goodfellas, one of the greatest pieces of filmmaking in the history of mankind. Ray Liotta was just incredible in Goodfellas, and I just always really, really liked Ray Liotta's work. He was 67 years old. Apparently, he passed away in his sleep. We don't know exactly what happened, but it just I'm really saddened by that because anyway, you know, wasn't political. Whatever. I'm not gonna. Just a hell of an actor, and I really enjoyed his work. Particularly Goodfellas. I've seen Goodfellas 1,000 times, I swear to God. If Goodfellas is on, I will watch it. Same way with Shawshank Redemption. There are a bunch of movies. Same way with Field of Dreams. 67 years old, Ray Liotta has passed away apparently in his sleep. So, back to the sujet du jour. You know, we've got Salvador Ramos. He's 18 years old. His mother had a boyfriend living with her. She was a drug addict. The boyfriend had a criminal record a mile long. Dad also apparently had a criminal record, not involved with the son. This young man had to move into his grandmother's sleep on the floor in the front room of the house. Clearly troubled, bullied at schools, cutting his face. All of these things are things that are going, help, 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 including his last Facebook post 30 minutes before he went to the elementary school and said, I'm going to go shoot some kids in an elementary school. Is it any surprise that kid did something like this? Was it any surprise that last week a shooter, 18 years old, who went through 2 years of COVID hell at school and fear porn and panic porn and isolation, just like the 18-year-old last week did, just like the Sandy Hook shooter did, sitting in his basement 12, 14, 15, 18 hours a day, mom sitting upstairs, access to guns, completely immersed in digital reality, no father involved, hello, on massive amounts of medication with regard to Sandy Hook. We don't know about the other two. And then Eric Swalwell does his very best to do exactly what we did to children with COVID. Do the same thing with guns.
I find myself in a position where I'm lying to my kids. And every parent in America right now is lying to their kids. If you're telling your kid they're going to be safe at their school and everything's going to be okay, it's a lie. And who wants to lie to their kids?
Well, if you use that logic, then before you get on an airplane with your child, you should say, you're not completely safe in this flight. There's a very good chance you could die. Now, it's incredibly remote, and chances are you could, you know, walking across the street, you'd get killed sooner. Same way with getting shot in a mass shooting at school. But let's not get that in the way of your agenda.
But right now, the truth is, not by a policy defect, but by design of the Republican Party in this country.
He's going to blame the Republican Party by design policy to kill children. Unlike, being pro-abortion caused 63 million deaths.
Every kid in every classroom is exposed and vulnerable to a shooting.
That is an absolute irresponsible lie.
No police officer outside the classroom, as we have seen, is going to protect them.
Yeah, they did. It worked at my daughter's school, you see. Just about 3 months ago, a kid went in with a gun and tried to get in, ended up going to the office shooting a coach, and the resource officer shot the kid, and the kid shot the police officer. So three people shot. The police officer stopped the tragedy from happening at my daughter's school.
No idea that, you know, more good guys with guns in the community is going to protect them.
No, it always works out that way. If there's somebody there with a gun, they take out the bad guy generally.
And no sense of, you know, let's just throw money at mental health is going to protect them. What's going to protect
them? Oh, yeah. No, not throwing money at it, but actually investing time, thought, I don't know, reason.
Them is to not allow dangerous people to have access to firearms.
And who are those dangerous people? Well, let's see. You just the president of the United States just labeled half of America those dangerous people. They are Trump supporters. Republicans are white supremacists. And the AG of the country thinks that CRT parents are part of that as well. So there we go. That's the end game right there, kids, is to name you mentally unfit to own a weapon. That's another aside of what they're trying to do, by the way. But your child should not be told you should be afraid to go to school because you might die. That's just irresponsible. That's just moronic. And honestly, wow, somebody get that man a vasectomy now. Absolutely now. Let's go to Audrey in Baltimore County. She's been holding for a while, and I greatly appreciate it. Audrey, welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm okay. What's going on?
Good. I am a fairly new listener, and I'm listening to you, and I have said for years that the simplest solution to all this is the fact that the family values and the family unit is just non-existent in so many households in this family. And, you know, in my home, when my grandchildren are here, my children are here, you know, if I have dinner, we all sit down together and have dinner together. Somebody is not in the other room watching TV. And, you know, and when my grandson is here, I pay attention to what he is doing. If he's upstairs watching TV, I will give him his space. But I will go up there occasionally and see what he's doing, see what he's watching. And sure. Then, you know, sometimes I'm like, why are you watching? I don't understand why you're watching this. Come on, it's time we go outside and play a little bit. And he'll go outside and play a little bit. I think the problem is, you know, like you said, this one mother is watching, you know, fake TV, reality TV, and her son is off doing things that he shouldn't be doing, and nobody's paying attention to these children.
Is it any surprise after the laundry list of things that I read you that this kid was beyond messed up?
No. Not
Mom's a drug addict. Dad's not involved. Grandpa, or I should say not grandpa, but the man who's living with his mother has a criminal record since like 1980. And then mom is a drug addict. So he's forced to go live with grandma, who's not much of an improvement. I don't know much about the grandma, and sleep on a gosh darn mattress in the front room. Are you kidding me? This kid's cutting his face. You know what happens when you cut your face? It's because you want people to see you cutting your face.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know... It is not, as you said, it's no surprise to me. This should have been picked up a long time ago if anybody cared to notice.
And this is happening all over, and this is why I said, Audrey, earlier, why are there no female mass shooters in the country? They have access to the guns just like men do. Why are there no female mass shooters in the country? If this is about guns and not mental health, then why in the hell are only young men, with the exception of the Vegas shooter and very few others, why are they always young men committing these atrocities? We need to get this profile together and figure it out. It's not about being a supporter of the Second Amendment. It's about being mentally ill. It's about probably being over-medicated from birth, almost. It's about this coarsening of the culture, and it's about parents who suck. How about that? About parents who just suck and aren't involved, Audrey. You're exactly right. And you take the time as a grandmother, and you kind of, listen, it sounds like you're becoming the classic grandparent here. Somebody who's not a parent, but pretty darn close to it, still there actively, not just to just give them a kiss when they come and visit on Sunday for dinner, but to be involved with the kid's life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Good for you.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, if I don't hear from, you know, if I don't talk to him in a couple, I'll call him and say, what's going on? How are things going on? You know, I know a lot about what goes on in his life, and I hope he can feel like he always can talk to me. And, you know, I not be judgmental. I try to help him and figure out things. That's important, too. You need to give these children skills and able to help them to go out into this world and deal with things, because not everything is lollipops and wonderful things. They have to learn to deal with these things.
Well, Audrey, I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for calling. And thanks for doing what you do. It's important. You know, the amazing thing, I'm not telling anybody new here. I'm just going to talk to people who don't realize how glorious the family is when your family, when you make it work. And I know we all have bumps. My family's not perfect. But I'm going to tell you, if I were born in 2002. Like presumably 2004, the shooter was born in 2004, then I guess maybe I might have kind of fit the profile to some degree of this kid, not as a shooter, but of this kid. My father left me when I was 7 years old. He just disappeared. Just walked out the door. Remember the night that he left? He slammed the door, glass flew at us, and we all wept. We didn't know what the hell to do. My mother worked at a beauty shop in Neola, Iowa. I lived at home, she would go to work, you know, and we would come home and we would fend for ourselves to some degree. I'm not going to get into all this stuff. I mean, you have no clue about what I've been through in my life, but suffice it to say, there was a good deal of abuse. There were a good deal of issues involved here. There never was any psychoactive medication in elementary school, junior high, or college. There was a powerful mother figure there. My mother, who I thank for everything, but there were things outside of her control that happened to me when I was growing up. And I could have become that person. I feel like my father who left me, he missed out on so much glorious stuff. And one kid, he really messed up, my brother, who died at 38 in his sleep after a lifetime of drug abuse and alcoholism and whatnot. I survived it, you know, and I've managed in the last few years to say I can't do anything about the past. But I certainly was probably on the spectrum there. But I never thought about grabbing the shotguns that we had in the house and going to school and killing people. You know what I thought about? I fantasized about being the karate kid. I fantasized about being that kid who was able to overcome the bullies at school. I fantasized about being Peter Parker in the lunchroom against the bully. That was my dream, that I could become a karate expert and take out, you know, Steve Messerschmidt. Sorry, Steve. Years ago, I came up with the analogy in the final years of the Barack Obama administration that he was preparing the country to burn. He was laying the traps to get the country to burn. I legitimately said this around 10, 12 years ago when I was in Washington, D.C. I have the tape to prove it. I'll find it somewhere. But I said that what's going to happen is Barack Obama is going to leave the White House like a movie villain. And he is going to realize that the seeds have been sown for the destruction of America with regard to race war, with regard to the Second Amendment, with everything that's going on in the country right now. This was all seeded by a man who said he wanted to fundamentally change America, which means he hates America at its foundation and wants to change it fundamentally, presumably using some of the tactics that he learned from people like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, the Weather Underground, and Cloward and Piven. All right. So the president of the United States, Barack Obama, walked away from the White House and the Capitol. And I use the analogy of a movie villain where there is a stream of gasoline coming out of Washington, D.C. as Barack Obama walks away from Washington, D.C. with a cigarette in his mouth. And he casually flicks the cigarette into the stream of gasoline. It follows to Washington, D.C. and the country, and the D.C., the area, blows up completely and is on fire, and he's very calm and collective about it, almost with a half grin on his face. I said that about 10 years ago. Barack Obama uses the Texas shooting to memorialize George Floyd. Oh, and the resulting race riot in the country, because the Democrat Party and Barack Obama said nothing while America burned in the summer of 2020 by design, Eric Swalwell. So he said, it's a 2-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. It was yesterday, by the way. He said, as we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take the time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with us to this day, especially those who loved him. This is less than 24 hours after the murder of 19 children and 2 teachers. Quote, in the aftermath of this murder, a new generation of activists rose up to channel their anguish into organized action. Oh, yeah, enough to burn, you know, $2 billion worth of cities, launching a movement to raise awareness of systemic racism, which doesn't exist, and the need for criminal justice and police reform, which has done a face plant and caused violence to go through the ceiling. Then he, of course, plugged the My Brother's Keeper Alliance and Reimagining Policing Pledge, which has done nothing but blow up violence in this country, violent crime, murder, rape, carjacking, and whatnot. It is the chaos that he dreamed of when he walked away from Washington, D.C. and casually flipped the cigarette into the stream of gas coming from the chaos that he had just left. I think it's a perfect, perfect analogy. I opened the show yesterday talking about the mental illness aspect of this shooting instead of just saying, don't take our Second Amendment away, and the left saying, take your Second Amendment away. Second Amendment isn't going anyway. You know, just try it. Okay. That's all I got to say about that. So let's focus on the more important thing. Why are a group of young men doing essentially the same thing at increasing frequency? All right, here is Tucker Carlson's open last night.
Despite what you may have heard, the problem isn't that we don't care enough. There's not a person in this country who was not horrified by the sight of murdered children.
But Eric Swalwell says it's by design of the Republican Party.
The worst thing, and everybody thinks that. The problem is that the human mind is much more complex and harder to control than we like to admit.
Have you ever met a genuinely insane person, by the way? I have. Not a dangerously insane person, but you have to realize when a brain is broken that profoundly, you can do things like kill children, which no one would ever do.
A person who is intent on committing violence is very hard to stop under any circumstance.
Yep.
An act of Congress isn't going to do it. Neither will gun control. There are more guns in this country than there are people. There always have been. However you feel about that fact, you can acknowledge that we will never get rid of all of those guns. The Constitution prohibits that, and you would set off a civil war if you tried to do it.
And we know that it is the goal of Marxists to take guns away from the population. That way they're compliant. It's been repeated throughout history. So let's move on from that nonsense.
The only way to stop these killings is to figure out why American society is producing so many violent young men. There is a reason they are acting this way. What is that reason? And it's not just mass shooters, by the way, the ones you see on television. It's gangbangers.
Huh? What?
Carjackers and armed robbers and indiscriminate haters who push strangers in front of subway trains. We have a lot of people like that in this country all of a sudden, more than you like to think about. Why are they acting this way?
Why are Democrats acting this way? It's because active shooter situations and mass murders get headlines, and you can fly there on Air Force One and make a statement about it, then forget it ever happened. Hey guys, it's Carson. Listen, the last time the economy looked like this, the stock market tanked 50%. The U.S. dollar lost 46% of its value, and the price of oil quadrupled. Yeah. Yet, while the U.S. economy collapsed and inflation ran through the roof, the price of gold shot up 1,300%. So if history repeats itself, we could see it happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boon of our generation? That's why I want you to visit goldco.com/Rob Carson. goldco.com/Rob Carson. Because when you do, you'll not only get the chance to protect your retirement savings with gold and silver. Since you are a listener to this show, you could get $10,000 or more in free silver. This is a rare opportunity. So don't miss what could be the best opportunity to protect your retirement savings. Visit goldco.com/Rob Carson. That's goldco.com/Rob Carson today. It is the Rob Carson Show. One of the favorite guests of the Rob Carson Show, Kash Patel, joins us on the Newsmax hotline. He's got a new book called The Plot Against the King. We will get to that. He's the founder of Fight with Kash, former chief of staff of the DOD. Deputy Assistant to the President and Senior Director for Counterterrorism, among other things. You know, I think I'd be better off, instead of listing your resume, Kash, just to say things you don't do, like, are you a sous chef? Were you a sous chef at any point in your career?
I can't even spell sous, so it's good thing it's radio.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm interested in your book and the fact that it is a children's book, which I think is very interesting. And I've also been seeing some of the headlines with regard from, like, The Guardian UK saying that the Steele dossier, you're touting the Steele dossier, which we now know was absolutely true. Briefly, before we launch into all of the other things, tell us a little bit about the plot against the king. Why did you write it, and what's it all about?
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to be with you. And thanks for letting me get a minute on this. Look, yeah. The plot against the king. I was the Russiagate guy. That's what it says on my Truth Social handle, @Kash. I'm the Russiagate guy. I was the chief investigator for Devin Nunes. We exposed the criminality and corruption of the FBI, the Clinton campaign, and the media.
Yeah.
That story, it's now John Durham is now adjudicating that story in the courts as the biggest criminal enterprise the U.S. has ever seen.
Yes.
And why shouldn't our youth be taught about not the politics of it, but the right and wrong, the value of truth?
Yes.
And so we came up with this idea for a children's book called The Plot Against the King. And the art in there is brilliant. It's got great characters set in medieval times. Hillary Quinton and Keeper Comey, along with their shifty knight, take on a wizard named Kash and a knight named Devin. And we go on a quest for the truth. And the truth wins. And that's the point of the story. And I think kids can have fun with it. They don't need CRT. They need children's reading time. And it starts with The Plot Against the King.
I think it's interesting that we've got so many books that are so ungodly offensive with regard to the sex and sexuality of children. And then literally you have political books causing children to hate one another because of skin color. And people are going bat guano crazy because you decide to tell a historical story about something that is now coming out. It was called disinformation, but it's the truth. And finally, you're telling the truth so that kids will actually not be misled about something that that actually happened. Go ahead.
No, that's right. And they're our future generation. They're our next leaders. We have to teach them the value of the truth. And no matter what it costs, you have to go through sometimes hardships to get to the truth, like Devin and I did. But it's worth it, because that's what America's, that's the foundation. That's what we want our youth to be when they're leadership positions. So I think they're going to love it. Parents are going to love it. Schools are going to love it. We got to put it in every church and every temple, every synagogue across the country, and educate our children, not on politics, but on the value of doing right, no matter the cost, and not listening to what you hear from others as the accepted word from above, but rather find it yourself in theplotagainsttheking.com. Check it out.
I will do that. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Sussman trial and the Durham investigation. This has been a long time coming. A lot of conservatives are saying, well, why in the hell has it taken so long? And it seems to be trickling out. Do you find that what we are learning is as impactful as you had hoped it would be? And is the truth getting out there?
I find it more impactful because here's why. As a chief investigator for Russiagate and a former federal prosecutor, I kind of know why it takes John Durham so long to put this case together. It's so complex. It goes over so many years and so many criminals and so many targets. It takes time. But what we've learned through John Durham's prosecutions, plural, and this one of Sussman, is how much information the FBI withheld from Devin and I when we subpoenaed them. We had no idea who this Rodney Jaffe guy was, that he was an FBI informant who was getting paid from both ends, the Hillary campaign and the FBI, lying to the FBI, going to the media, triggering this second parallel effort from the Hillary Clinton campaign. The Steele dossier, we know, was a total joke, but we disproved it with facts and truth. And now John Durham's doing the same on the Alpha Bank line, which is what Sussman's on trial for. And we keep getting so much more information about who else was involved. Robbie Moog, the campaign manager, probably most astounding testimony, campaign manager for Clinton, came on the witness stand for the defense and said, Hillary knew. She was in on it.
This is
powerful.
This is beyond powerful. A presidential candidate. First of all, you got to have a hole in your soul to approach a race against another person as a political race. With these kind of tactics, it takes a special kind of evil to do something like that. Nobody thinks of this stuff, Cash. Nobody thinks of this stuff unless you've got darkness in your soul. But she,
and dirty cops on your payroll.
Yes, and that's another thing, the FBI. And yesterday I saw Christopher Wray being grilled by John Kennedy, and Christopher Wray is trying to assure us that the FBI is being reformed. I'm sorry, bud. I think the FBI needs to be figuratively blown up and reinvented. And I don't like to talk about field officers like this, but I want to know how many people marched into their superior's office, put their badge on the and gun on the table and says, I can't do this. I think the whole damned agency, there are certainly a very large rotten core. I'm not saying everybody is, but I can't imagine something worse for the country than the chief agency of law enforcement being politicized.
No, you're totally right. It starts and ends with Chris Wray. What a joke that guy has become. We subpoenaed his records when he was and still is the FBI director when we were running it. And he could have cleared this whole mess up 4 years ago. He failed to provide them. He violated him and Rod Rosenstein congressional subpoenas and requests for documents. And it has not led to more accountability, but to less and less faith in the FBI as an institution. And me, as a former federal prosecutor running around with FBI agents all over the world, putting away terrorists, one of the greatest jobs I ever had. It kills me to watch the FBI be tainted by its leadership for politicizing national security. You're exactly right. Christopher Wray has not stepped up in any meaningful fashion. Maybe he should read The Plot Against the King and get an idea of what it means to be truthful to the law and the facts. And that's what John Durham's doing. Thank God for him.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
He's the only one doing it.
a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to remember who introduced the, I'm drawing a blank on his name, congressman who introduced Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive to the congressional record.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, he has an FBI official there who said that they did not possess a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop. We know this is a lie because the guy who originally, I think it was Rudy Giuliani or the guy who actually got the computer, turned it over to the FBI. They lost it. Then the FBI went to someone else and asked for another copy of it. Then decided to, I guess, not do anything with it. And then we found out with testimony with Matt Gaetz, they didn't have a copy of it, or at least claimed to. So Gaetz entered it into the congressional record. When you saw that exchange, what did you think? And what was your reaction to it?
Well, Gaetz is one of our firebrand guys over there. And that's what constitutional congressional oversight actually looks like. Not like the Unselect Committee for January 6th,
yes,
which is a circus. But this, these types of investigations need to be done when we win the Congress back. We need to have a Hunter Biden investigation from a congressional perspective to see why it took so long and why so many people lied about it and its existence and called it Russian disinformation. We need to know why we were throttled by the FBI and DOJ on the Russiagate narrative when we were seeking these documents on behalf of the American people. All these things need to come out, and they can only do so with guys like Gates firing off questions based on fact and not circus animals like Adam Schiff running around telling lie after lie after lie to glorify their own ego and get their next headline in the fake news CNN.
And what's really amazing is I've been talking about the death of shame in this country and the death of civility for a very long time. Adam Schiff should be ashamed for what he said. Rachel Maddow should be ashamed of the 2 years of nonsense that she spewed on her show, which I assume she took a sabbatical because maybe she was so embarrassed because of it. I honestly have no clue. But, you know, listen, Cash, there are a lot of people who are genuinely angry and want people to go to jail for this crap. Right now, we have people rotting in a prison in Washington, D.C. with their court dates scheduled, not scheduled, or rescheduled. They've been in jail for more than a year. That is a gulag. That is the Bastille. Yeah, people are going to want to see people frog marched out of agencies and put on trial and to pay for all of this. As far as legality is concerned, clearly there were laws broken by our leaders, our law enforcement agencies, our Congress, our politicians. Do you see people finally maybe paying for this since so many people like you paid for things that weren't wrong?
Yeah. Look. Maybe I'm an optimist or something. Borrow Seinfeld. You can call me a cockeyed optimist. But I think it starts with this John Durham and the Sussman trial, and I think he gets convicted tomorrow because the facts are just so astoundingly clear in black and white for the world to see. It's not a he said, she said, and I think it's got to start there because Russiagate is the epicenter of where America lost faith in our institutions, in the FBI, in the CIA, in the NSA, in the DOD. It all goes back to Russiagate at some point, and we have to restore it. And the way you restore it is go back to the one-yard line and start taking down people for their crimes. And, you know, he already took down the FBI. He's got a conviction for the FBI for lying to a federal court to unlawfully surveil President Trump. Now he's got the Clinton campaign in his crosshairs. And I'm telling you, this summer, I believe firmly he's going to bring indictments against more of the FBI crooked cops like Andy McCabe, who lied and orchestrated this whole thing with his buddy Peter Strzok and their lover. And others are going to go down.
Unbelievable. For it. It's unbelievable. I'll also want to mention, one of your thoughts just real quick on what happened the day before yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. I've never seen such a just an god-awful performance by the left in this country. The president of the United States doing a speech as parents were getting their mouths swabbed to find if their children match their DNA, the bodies match their DNA, and then this idiotic, just dramatic piece of garbage moment of Beto O'Rourke in front of the governor. I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
Yeah, look, as a national security guy, for my entire, you know, almost a good chunk of my 16-year government career, what is the president doing? Just imagine if Donald Trump was out or still president and this massacre happened and the families are forever ruined, their lives are forever ruined, and he's off on some talk show. The media would have excoriated him. But Donald Trump, rightly so, who's not president, put out an immediate statement saying the only thing we can think about right now are the families in Uvalde, Texas, as a result of this massacre. And Joe Biden is reading some teleprompter somewhere else. And it's astounding that they can continue to politicize such a tragedy and then tie it somehow to firearms and Donald Trump. It's just astounding. We need to have an actual conversation about firearms and the Second Amendment, but that's not what the media and the left want to do. They just want to make up more facts and send out disinformation and sound like they're taking the high road. And it just compounds a tragedy that we haven't seen something like this in decades.
When I lived in Washington, D.C. about 10 years ago, I said that when Barack Obama left office, he was going to leave the office like a movie villain. He was going to walk away from the White House. In the distance, you see the White House with a trail of gasoline leading behind him, and he'd casually flick a cigarette into it and watch it blow up as he smiles and walks away like it isn't even happening. Do you believe that's what's happened? Because that's what I believe started what's happening in the country today. The madness that we have today, I believe, is by design. Go ahead.
Well, look, it's no question that Susan Rice, Obama's senior advisor, is now in the White House, basically running half the show there. But it's also no surprise that President Biden has failed across the board when it comes to national security, when it comes to our border, our opioid crisis, our relations with China, Russia, taking out Iran, supporting Israel, Middle East, everything we did, annihilating terrorists and making America safer. Those just aren't priorities for them. Their priorities are things like, how do we get the next media headline so we can sound cool for the next election? Not how do we stop the surge at the border of illegal immigration and the narcotics that killed 100,000 youths last year? You know, these are just tragic examples of the politicization of the national security apparatus. And the trail does start and end at the White House with Joe Biden.
It's
and the people that he has advising him, because the people he has advising are a bunch of yes men and women who just want to keep their jobs so they have the title attached to their name for the rest of their life, just like that Secretary of State right now running around wrecking our relations around the world, Blinken.
I thought it was interesting the other day, Joe Biden stepped to the podium and called Donald Trump the MAGA King. I think it's interesting also that you've written this book called The Plot Against the King. I thought if they call him the MAGA King, and then they're calling we are ultra MAGA. I thought this is just brilliant, which is the dumbest thing. Like, for instance, if you're a laundry detergent sales are not working, you put ultra in the front of it to make it really cool.
And the funny thing is they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and some think tank team to come up with this thing. So we took advantage of it. President Trump was kind enough to roll out the Plot Against the King on Truth Social.
Yes.
And it's been brilliant. You can find me on Truth Social at Cash and nowhere else, by the way.
Good.
Everyone is fake. And it's soaring. And you guys got to get on the website. You can sign in from any computer now in America. It's good stuff.
I love it. And I want to check out this Cash. I just want to thank you for the hell that you went through for this. And I know you're being vindicated, and you are going to be even more vindicated. And I wish you the very best with this book. It's called The Plot Against the King. It's interesting because I Googled about it. And, you've got like Amazon, and then you got a bunch of hit pieces. You got one from, it's just so stupid. It's like, shut up. The Times UK. Really? Do you need to sound off on Cash Patel's children's book? And then nowhere do I see the website for your book. Tell us again the website where everybody can go and see this.
Yeah, sorry, theplotagainsttheking.com. Just go pick up a copy at theplotagainsttheking.com. And for Durham updates, go to durhamwatch.com. We've set it up. It's all free from durhamwatch.com. And if you can support us by buying the book at theplotagainsttheking.com, we'd love it. I think you're going to have a blast with it. And the fact that the haters are out in such hardcore joint union, just like they were during Russiagate, means we're over the target and we're right again. Why? Because we put the truth out and they don't.
All right. God bless you, brother. Have a glorious day. We'll have you on again soon. I'm so glad to see people being vindicated with regard to this Sussman trial and all the things that are coming out in the Durham investigation that show that, once again, we were right and we were validated. We are being validated in our beliefs. We know that Hillary Clinton colluded with Russia to throw the election or attempt to. You know why we knew that? Because we're not stupid. We knew that Hunter Biden's laptop was real. You know why? Because we're not stupid. You know why I think that the 2020 election was stolen? Because I'm not stupid. And each one of these dominoes falls, and each one of these stories comes out, and the media tries to cover it up, but the truth comes out, and we know it. You and I know it. So there you go. And the truth will win. And as much as the ministers of truth, or at least the ministers of misinformation and disinformation, telling us what we should hear about, shutting down stories, shutting down social media, shutting down the mainstream media. There's nothing they can do to stop us. 98 candidates endorsed by Donald Trump have won their Republican primary races this midterm election cycle following Tuesday's primaries in Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, and Texas. What is the percentage of victories for Donald Trump endorsed candidates? 96%. The storm is not coming. The storm is already here. The storm is here. And the storm is going to intensify, and the storm is going to move onshore in November. And when that happens, when both houses of Congress are taken over by Republicans, the non-swamp-dwelling Republicans, the younger Republicans like MTG, she's crazy. No, she's not, actually. They tried to take her out of the race. They literally tried to take her out of the race using 200-years-old laws to try to get her out of the race because they considered her to be a threat, and she ended up winning by a landslide in her primary in Georgia, and she's going to be in Congress next session, and she and her ilk are going to go after the criminals who have been there for years and years and years.
Thanks for listening to the Newsmax Daily with Rob Carson. Check your cable guide or NewsmaxTV.com. Or watch free on YouTube, Roku, Apple, Pluto, Zumo, Amazon Fire, and your smart TV. Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Check NewsmaxTV.com for details.